All right, it's time for the best of the Sunday shows on Sunday. The Democrats and Republicans, they send out their surrogates to talk about what's big coming up in the week in Washington and D.C. and through state capitals throughout the country. So here's the best of the Sunday shows. Let's start with Meet the Press. Bob Costas went on NBC to talk about politics and sports.
Politics is a part of sports.
Yes.
Sports is a part of politics. Does it concern you that we are seeing in some instances politics infused in sports?
I think that politics inevitably has intersected with sports. Anyone who says that politics has no place in sports has to be abysmally unaware of the history here.
That's Bob Costas, probably one of the greatest sportscasters of all time. Also, one of the folks that really infused politics into modern sports more so than anybody else with some of his commentaries. And again, I come from a sports background. The one thing I'll disagree with Bob is that when you talk about politics and sports, it is 100% one-sided. As a conservative voice in sports, you were told you were not allowed to talk about those things. As a liberal voice in sports all day long, if you notice, when you look at the four-letter network, ESPN, now I never worked at ESPN, I worked at CBS, I worked at Fox nationally, but if you look at just ESPN, they're the mothership, as Dan Patrick will call them, you'll see the Jemal Hills and you'll see the folks who work over there, very, very liberal slant. How many conservatives do you see over there? Not many, and if you do, mainly they get pushed aside. So for Bob Costas to talk about politics and sports, yes, but I think you also have to acknowledge, Mr. Costas, that it is one-sided. And the voices that you have speaking up about politics and sports, USA Today, ESPN, a lot of the others, lean towards the left. Those that lean towards the right aren't really long for this world. That's why I'm working in news talk right now and not sports anymore. That was Meet the Press. Now, on ABC, with George Stephanopoulos hoping, they talked about the big, beautiful bill. Chris Christie goes on this week on ABC to talk about Donald Trump's legislation that he signs on the 4th of July.
This is a great couple of weeks for the president in terms of what he wants to accomplish. Short-term wins, I'm sure we'll get to it. Long-term concerns, though, there are real storm clouds over the horizon, I think.
What are the long-term concerns?
The long-term concerns are the Medicaid changes that he's put into place give the Democrats a message when they didn't have one. They've been scrambling around trying to find a message. Now they got one, and he handed it to them. And we'll see how effective it's going to be. I think it can be very effective.
Chris Christie, I don't know why Chris Christie would go on television as a surrogate. Why would you choose Chris Christie, who is so out of touch with the Republican Party that I just don't get it, other than it's a great talking point for Stephanopoulos. He does bring to, something to the table, though, that the Democrats are going to use the cuts to Medicaid, Medicare, that take folks that are here illegally off of their rolls, also those that are able-bodied off of their rolls. And we talked to somebody who was a lobbyist, was about a week ago, about the Big Beautiful Bill and the danger to the Big Beautiful Bill to rural American hospitals is when you take those off, you reduce the amount of dollars that come into the hospital systems by taking the waste, fraud, corruption out. That money was that money would help to pay for and bolster the entire system. So less patients, less money means that rural hospitals are at risk. Now, they did put dollars against trying to offset those taken off the rolls, and we'll see whether that balances out or not. But Chris Christie is correct that if rural America loses some medical care, as the Democrats are going to hammer the Republicans over the head on the Big Beautiful Bill. Here's Donna Brazile talking about its effect in health care.
This is really going to be the belly of the to continue to focus on this health care. To have consequences. Chris, you're absolutely right. Democrats should continue to focus on this health care. This is really going to be the belly of the beast when it comes to what this bill will do to our country.
That's Donna Brazile on This Week with George Stephanopoulos. Meanwhile, on Face the Nation, Kevin Hassett gave the Republican response to the effects of the Big Beautiful Bill.
And the headline is going to be that countries are agreeing around the world to open their markets up to our products
and to allow us to put some kind of tariff on their products when they come into the U.S. And exactly what the numbers will be things that you'll find out in the news this week.
And as Gary's been saying, the reset for the big, beautiful bill, or excuse me, for the tariffs, will be this week on August 1st. Can Donald Trump bring in more trade deals by then, or will the letters go out? And again, remember, these are reciprocal tariffs. There's also some snapback to it. So if he opposes 25% tariff on countries that haven't gotten a trade deal, they can always be negotiated, but you have to have a hard deadline. Otherwise, they keep stringing this thing out. Meanwhile, Tom Suozzi, Democrat from Long Island, talked about the big, beautiful bill on Face the Nation.
You just heard from Kevin Hassett. You know, like President Trump, he said without this bill, it would be one of the greatest tax hikes for the American public. They say it is the greatest tax cut in American history. You sit on the Ways and Means Committee, so I have to wonder how you describe it.
I describe it as the big ugly bill, not the big beautiful bill. It's going to do a lot of things that are going to hurt a lot of people in our country. The biggest one, which you talked about with Mr. Hassett, is increase the deficit enormously in the country. And what that does is that creates inflation, that keeps interest rates high, that makes it hard for people to buy homes, makes it hard for them to borrow money to do the things that they want to do.
So that's the talking points of the Democrat big ugly bill. It's going to ruin the economy. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. And the Republicans are going to have to go out there and defend it. Now, on the other side, Democrats are having to defend which direction their party is going on. Here's Suozzi one more time talking about Mondani, who's the mayoral candidate on the Democratic side in New York. And can the Democrats stay aligned with him, or is he out of touch with the Democratic Party of 2025?
Congressman, I want to turn to an op-ed that you wrote in the Wall Street Journal last week saying Zohran Mamdani's win in the New York City's Democratic mayoral primary should be a, quote, loud wake-up call for Democrats. What lessons do you think your party can learn from his campaign?
But you have to recognize that he tapped into something. He tapped into the same thing that Donald Trump tapped into, which is that people are concerned that the economy is not working for them. Affordability and the economy is the number one issue in the country. And too often, Democrats are not perceived as being focused on affordability and the economy and the middle class and people aspiring to the middle class and their economic concerns.
It's interesting. New York, one of the most expensive places in the run, one of the most expensive places in the world to live, run by Democrats for decades and decades and decades. I'm just saying. Meanwhile, Sunday Morning Futures with Maria. Jason Chaffetz, our friend who joined us last week, was hosting the show. He and Senator Mark Wayne Mullins talking about the big, beautiful bill on the border wall.
First of all, what we're going to do is actually complete the wall. The last time that President Trump started the wall, obviously you saw the Biden administration come in and just wreak havoc on it and sell the material at pennies on the dollar. So the first thing we're doing is we're actually putting this into law by putting $46 billion to finally complete the wall all the way across our southern border.
Meanwhile, Matthew Whitaker, who's, I believe, the ambassador to NATO, came on Sunday Morning Futures and talked about the latest on Iran.
Iran should come to the table and should sue for peace and should make a peace deal with the United States, with Israel, and just say no more. We want to be in the world where people seek prosperity.
He also went on to talk about the Golden Dome, which is part of the big, beautiful bill, the missile defense system over the United States.
An interesting thing that's going on right now worldwide is that air defenses are at a premium. They're low availability. And the United States, having just passed this one big, beautiful bill, demonstrates through the, you know, this acceleration of the Golden Dome air defense and missile defense program that ultimately we get it and we're going to continue to be the world's preeminent superpower and we will protect ourselves and our citizens.
You know, one thing to think about with the big, beautiful dome, the Iron Dome, David Sling, the Patriot Missile Systems, is missile systems get more lethal, and hypersonics are now being introduced, and the Chinese are working on hypersonics. The U.S. is working on hypersonics. To be able to defend yourself against some of these type of missiles, you're going to have more missile defense systems, so we'll see when the Golden Dome is deployed over the United States of America. Meanwhile, on Fox News Sunday, Scott Bessent came on the show to talk about, again, the big, beautiful bill.
What we saw was this mass unfettered immigration across the border, whether it's 12 or 22 million people who came in, suppressed working people's wages. And for 20 years, the big lie was that this kind of immigration didn't hurt working people. Now, economists have come out and said, oh, what a surprise. Even the laws of supply and demand work in the low-end labor market. So I talk about in that editorial what I call parallel prosperity, that for years Wall Street has done well, now it's time for Main Street to do well, and they can both do well. And that's the one big beautiful bill. That's the beauty of this. It helps Wall Street and Main Street.
Now, the biggest winner last week was Speaker Mike Johnson, who got the big beautiful bill through the House, over to the Senate, back to the House, into the president's desk by July 4th. He signed it during a picnic with military members, active duty personnel, celebrating the 4th of July at the White House. Here's Speaker Johnson.
They're expecting 4 million additional jobs to be added. The average American, the typical American household, will have $13,000 more in take-home pay. This is a great thing for people who go to work every day. They're going to feel that. What we did in this bill is we made permanent the 2017 Trump's tax cuts, and that was geared for lower and middle-class Americans.
And that is Mike Johnson talking on Fox News Sunday. And that's the best of the Sunday shows, in case you missed any of them over the 4th of July weekend. Coming up, news, traffic, and weather. Gary's working on headlines. We'll continue to update you what's going on in Texas with the floods and the tropical depression hitting the Mid-Atlantic and the deadline for tariffs coming up this week. But we'll have news, traffic, and weather for you. And then after the bottom of the hour, I want to get to and start talking some politics and talk about the governor's race. And I want to know from you. In fact, you can start sending in your text messages right now, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, on the James River Air text line. I want to know what's really important to Virginians as you decide who you're going to vote for governor. What's really important? What are the issues that matter to you right now in the Commonwealth of Virginia? Start sending in your text messages. Let me know. 833-804-1140. I'm Rich Herrera. This is News Radio WRVA.
You're listening to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera on News Radio WRVA.
Oh, I better be careful. When I asked for the smoke, I knew I'd get it, but I didn't think I'd get it this hot and heavy this morning. What are the big issues facing Virginia this morning? I really want to know, because we're going to start talking more in depth about the race to see who's going to take over for Glenn Youngkin and move into the governor's mansion. And will it be Abigail Spanberger? Will it be Winsome Earl Sears? To you, I want to know, Virginia, what is the most pressing need? What are you going to look at when deciding who to vote for governor? Give us a text on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Hey, quick reminder. The Tuckahoe Masonic Lodge is holding a blood drive this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. They're located at 5500 Bethlehem Road here in Richmond. They're teaming up with the American Red Cross. It's a community blood drive at the Tuckahoe Masonic Lodge coming up Saturday, June 12th from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. Thanks, guys, for doing that. Hats off to the Tuckahoe Masonic Lodge. We'll continue with you. It's News Radio WRVA. All right, we continue with you here at 7:35. What's really important to you in Virginia? What's the most important issue that will decide who you vote for governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia? The 4th of July weekend is over. The fall will be here before you know it. We get to November. And right now, you need to decide who's going to follow up and move into the governor's mansion now that we're getting to the waning days of Governor Youngkin, Governor Glenn Youngkin. His term is just about over. So now we have to decide who do we have to lead this Commonwealth for the next 4 years. And it's very interesting because couple things that's very unique to Virginia. So, Dan, you grew up here in the Commonwealth. This is not unique to you. You grew up with a gubernatorial election every 4 years.
Yes, indeed. First Virginian in my family, and proud of it.
Okay. you're used to having an election every year.
Yes.
Okay, that's not the way the rest of the country rolls.
No, not at all.
Okay.
There are very few states with off-year elections.
So you get, in the other states, you get a respite from the ugly political ads that we get in Virginia year-round every year. Also very interesting. And my by the way, my son's visiting from Arizona. He's a political science major. So when we were going around this weekend to Monticello and we went to Mount Vernon and we were walking through the museums, walking through the houses, he was pointing out to me that one of his classes almost extensively covered Virginia politics because we have so many anomalies that we think is everyday normal stuff. The rest of the country looks as an anomaly that we have a split ticket. In other states, you have a governor and a lieutenant governor, and they're running on the same ticket. Here we have a split ticket where you cast one vote for your governor, one for your lieutenant governor, one for your attorney general, and you could have a Republican governor and a Democratic lieutenant governor, and they could be at odds. So
correct.
You normally don't have that in a lot of places. So he's actually going to come on if I could wake him up. It's still early for him. And we ran pretty hard all weekend visiting all these different places, and we're trying to squeeze in as much as we can the week that we have together. But he was talking about that in his state and local and government politics classes, Virginia is a lot different than most other places. So they studied Virginia politics pretty hard last semester. So we're going to get him to come on and talk about it. But for us here, we have to decide. And both of these tickets have challenges. I'll put it to you that way. You're Abigail Spanberger. You're running towards the middle. Your commercials say, I am the most bipartisan member of Congress. I work across the aisle. I work with everybody. She's running down the middle. The rest of her ticket is rather far to the left in Hajmi and the attorney general candidate. On the Republican side, you have Winsome Earle Sears, who has a record with Glenn Youngkin to run on, but she's not aligned with the rest of her ticket in straight up and down. And we've seen the friction that we have between John Reed's campaign. We've seen the friction we've had between the lieutenant governor. We've seen Winsome Earle Sears, and nobody's embracing everybody, all three candidates up and down the Republican ticket. So both tickets have some challenges as we get ready for the general election. So I want to know, what's the most important thing to Richmonders and those of you in Central Virginia? What are the issues that you want them to talk about? What are the issues that you're concerned about? What are the issues that they need to be aware of and tackle? What are the stances that you're looking for in our next governor? And listen, this is WRVA. I understand that we're going to have a few Democrats that are going to be chiming in, and I welcome all of them. I know it's going to be a lot of conservatives chiming in. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from everybody today. What are the big issues that we have in our Commonwealth that you want to know the stance of the governor? What's going to be what's going to cause you to vote for one side or the other? Or more importantly, what will cause you to vote against one side or the other? Because these are campaigns that, for the first time in America, because we're so divided, there's times where we vote for people, and I've always voted for someone. Very rarely have I voted against someone. But I think in America today, we do have people that vote against the other party or the other candidate. So what's important to you is what I want to know this morning here on Richmond's Morning News. Give us a text message on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Here's a little bit from Abigail Spanberger, and let's hear what she has.
Virginia, this is important. House Republicans just passed their so-called Big Beautiful Bill. This isn't just a threat of a bad bill passing. It is now an impending reality. Every single Republican who voted for this bill, which includes every House Republican elected from Virginia, should be ashamed. Right now, more than ever, Virginians need leaders who will defend access to affordable, high-quality health care, who will defend our hospitals across Virginia. And Virginians need and deserve a governor who will speak out against these attacks, not hide in silence. As your next governor, I will never be afraid to stand up for your health, your safety, and your prosperity here in Virginia.
So that's a little taste of what we're going to get, maybe, from Abigail Spanberger as we go into the general election. The one thing the Democrats are going to run on is against this big, beautiful bill, and what they're saying is the threat to rural America's health care. Now, does she run on something, or does she run against the current president of the United States? And that's where the Democratic Party has got challenges right now. The Democratic Party has to figure out, what are we for? We know what they're against. They're against Donald Trump. Can they find something they're for to rally people, or will they be voting against? Will you be voting against Donald Trump by electing Democrats, or will you vote for something because the Democrats are going to give you something that they want to accomplish? Now, meanwhile, on the other side, here's a little taste of what we're going to hear from Winsome Earle Sears.
Hi, I'm Winsome Sears, Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, running for governor. And you see this vehicle? My husband and I, we paid it off a long time ago. But we are in business, apparently, with the government, because if you don't pay your car tax, you never own this car. But let something happen to your wheel, and God forbid, the check engine light comes on, the government doesn't help you, does it? No. So we want to get rid of the car tax. I know you want that, too, because you're in business with the government, too. You elect me for governor, we're going to tear up that car tax. That's what this bill is. No more.
So Winsome Earle Sears wants to run on, and I think this is what we're seeing shaping up as her big issue. She wants to get rid of the car tax. Jim Gilmore tried and got pretty far, and then some Republicans crawfished on that, and some Democrats came in, and they peeled that back. It's not as bad as it used to be, but there is still that car tax that we have out there that I think it's universally hated by all Virginians, but we can't seem to wean ourselves off of that. So I want to know if Abigail Spanberger so far is saying, hey, I'm going to, at least in this soundbite, I'm going to campaign against the big, beautiful bill and against Donald Trump. We've already seen some other Democrats talk about we're campaigning to stop Donald Trump. If that's what they want to hang their hat on, and Abigail Spanberger is going to go along with that direction, does that appeal to you? What do you want to see her talk about? What do you want to ask her about? And on the Republican side, for Winsome Sears, is the car tax enough to get you off the couch to vote Republican? What do you want to know from the Republican side? So what's important to you, Richmond? What's important to you, Central Virginia? And we're going to use this when we get feedback, and we've invited both candidates to come on. We've invited both gubernatorial candidates, and we'll invite the lieutenant governor candidates as well, and the attorney general. But right now, we're working hard to try to get Spanberger and Sears to come on the program. But I want to know from you today, what is the most important pressing issue for the Commonwealth of Virginia? Send us a text message, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Is voting for Spanberger running on, we're going to stand up against Donald Trump, enough to get you off the couch to vote? Is Winsome Earle Sears talking about eliminating the car tax enough to get you off the couch, to get you up to vote? What's important to you? 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Want to hear from everybody this morning. Is again, hey, it's on now. We are past July 7th. We're going, where the fall's going to be here. Virginia Tech, Virginia football is going to be starting before you know it, and it's going to be hot and heavy with one of the two gubernatorial elections. Money's going to come pouring into the state, and you're going to be inundated with television ads like you've never seen before. So what's really going to cut through the noise, and what appeals to you, what appeals against you? 833-804-1140. I want to know this morning. We'll read the best text messages here on the program. Coming up on the program, Mike Emanuel is going to talk about the big, beautiful bill. How did they get it through, and what's next? Now Donald Trump has got his legislation through on a partisan vote. Mike Emanuel, Fox News, joins us at the top of the hour. Gary's got an update coming up as well, all right here on News Radio WRVA.